Okay. Hello, everybody. Service. My name is Jill. I am a compulsive overeater. And our workshop this afternoon is Finding a Higher Power. You heard part of in my story earlier that it was major to my recovery that I had to change my concept of a higher power. It just wasn't really working for me. And I was, for some reason, unable to do it myself. The big book directions say, just choose a new concept. Well, it wasn't that easy for me. I couldn't just choose a new concept. Somehow, I had it in my head that God was this way, and that's all there was to it. And then it couldn't change, because God was God. You can't change God. So, I found this workshop incredibly helpful. I have never led it before, but I went through it. And the woman who led it graciously gave me all of her notes and her outline. So I thank her for that. It's a workshop, an action workshop, involving writing and facing directly the issues you have with your higher power. Now, if the first thing you're saying is, I have no issues with my higher power, it's absolutely fine. Wonderful. Maybe this could help us work other people through. It could be help working with others. Because not everybody is able to do it without help. If you are miserable or struggling today, if your higher power is not working for you, not advancing your recovery, it's time to recognize that and find yourself a new higher power. Some of us think of higher power as like a person, especially like a parent, someone we can't change. God is what God is. Many of us come from dysfunctional families, and we project our parents' defects onto God. There's a great example in the big book, in the chapter Window of Opportunity. Here's what the author says about his parents on page 422. My earliest memories include threats by my parents to throw me out onto the street for the slightest acts of disobedience. The thought of being forced to live on the street is pretty terrifying for a six-year-old. Those threats, coupled with a fair amount of physical punishment, kept me frightened and obedient. And then, that same author wrote on page 427 about when he went to an AA meeting, people suggested I find a higher power. I was not fooled. I knew when they said higher power, they meant God. And I knew that God waited for me to step out of line just once so he could take his revenge. I wanted no part of God. That man found a higher power, and he found recovery. We can too. Reality check. If you could have beaten your food addiction by yourself without God, you wouldn't be in this room. So, our first writing assignment, I'll need a volunteer to hand out a paper. And while you're handing it out, I'll talk about it. Thank you. Resentments against my existing higher power. Okay? You have to find your own pathway. And part of that is clearing the roadblocks in your pathway. Just like you do a fourth step to clean out your past, it's helpful to do a fourth step on your history with God. If you skip your fourth step in your history, the knowledge of your defects is a sinkhole in your recovery, one that you can fall into over and over again. Possibly, if you skip over a fourth step on your relationship with your higher power, you're leaving sinkholes in that relationship too. And when times get bad and the going gets rough, that relationship can fail rather than be a safe path through rough country. Well, I'm sorry. Lunch and the switch over into this kind of happened a little too fast for me. I'm having a little trouble focusing. I feel like I was eating my last bite over here while we were getting ready. So, just as with a fourth step inventory, you want to include both good and bad. You want to look at the harder problems, though. You want to look at the difficulties. Especially, you want to look at resentments. You know what the big book says? Resentment is the number one offender. And if we have a resentment against our higher power, what is that going to do? I endlessly had resentments against higher power on my fourth step inventories. Putting out of our minds the wrongs others had done, we resolutely looked for our own mistakes. So we're going to be looking at that today in our inventory with our higher power. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? Very important. Look at your part and your resentments of your existing God. For example, did you pray for something that didn't happen and you felt rejected? This is very hard to do, but please consider if you've not been able to get close to a higher power, it may be because you've been holding on to a serious resentment against that God. So, start with a piece of paper. Anybody who needs a piece of paper, there were some up here. They might have all gone. Put three columns on your paper. In the first column, what is your resentment against the God of your understanding? Second column, how did that affect me, especially my anxieties, my anger, and my eating, my recovery? Third column, what was my part in that resentment? Okay, the question is for the recording. Somebody says, you know, could I be more specific? They don't really have any resentments against God. Let me give you some of mine. And they're in later on in the workshop, but just to get you started, I resented the heck out of the fact that children have to die of terrible diseases. And I blamed God for that. I'm like, really? You're a loving, loving, kind, generous, caring God, and you'll let this little child suffer of a deadly disease? And I couldn't get past that. It was more of, I was resentful at God for things that happened in this world, and he didn't take care of it. Well, maybe instead of God, the way God works in your world, and maybe resentment is the wrong word that's tripping you up, feel some kind of way. Maybe something you truly wish was different. And if it would be different, maybe I wouldn't have to eat and my recovery would work and I could feel closer to God. But because it's this way, I mean, maybe we could think of it that way. On your handout, we are just this kind of group. I'm the same way. We're just doing number one, divide a page into three columns. The instructions are in number one. Because next we'll do number two, and then we'll do number three. The big book ones are selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, and afraid. But you can use whatever your part is. It could be I was unrealistic, I was judgmental, I was setting expectations, I was directing how the world should work, I was being the boss. It could be anything, your part in it. They all stem back to those same four character defects. Okay. Now, this is the hard part. This workshop was originally an all-day workshop, and we're trying to fit it into this afternoon, and there's going to be more tonight in the reflection time. So, at this point, there's normally a 15, 20-minute sharing. Everybody gets up and shares. We can't do that. Would like to suggest 5 minutes to find somebody near you. It's very important that we say this stuff out loud. Even if you're not sure you did it right, it's like a step five on our step four. And look, I couldn't find the parts, what my part in was it. I didn't understand, but I still went with it. Okay, like, well, how is it my fault that God lets little children? Where's my part in that? Well, I found a part. Just go with what you have. Find somebody near you. Be brave and share what you wrote. 5 minutes. Can we do this in 5 minutes?
Yes.
Okay. I was surprised to find when I shared mine that I was not terminally unique. I had not thought of these things all on my own, that most of us had very common things. There were very common themes running among people's difficulty with their concept of God. So, we're going to move on to the next session, and it's number two on your paper. We're going to expand our inventory to examine the positive and negative attributes that we have in our minds when we think of God. When I did this, it was hard because it was very easy for me to parrot, well, God is love and God is kindness and God is wisdom, but it was really lip service. It was, what do I really feel God is? It's your list. It's your personal list. So the instructions are two columns, or if you think you're going to be prolific, use two papers. What are the positive attributes of my God on one side? What is working and helping me in my recovery and my program that God provides for me? He could be a source of love, wisdom, protection, compassion, inspiration, hope. It's your list. What do you honestly feel God brings to the table? Okay, sorry. That just slipped out. I don't know what happened there. Second column. This is the interesting column. What are the defects of my God? Especially, why don't I trust him? What's not working or helping in my recovery? And, you know, I was really amazed when she gave me this list first, because I thought, oh, yeah. Okay, so here's a cool list. Number A, letter A. Distant God syndrome. God is far away. He's in heaven. He's not available to help me with food. He's up there. I can't find him. He's too far away. I did have to lose the concept of God being up there to God is here. That was critical for me. B, the overworked CEO God. He's working on big issues like world peace, and I shouldn't take time with my piddly little problems. C, unworthy me, judgmental or supercilious God. I'm anxiety-filled, failure-prone. I'm a poor excuse for a human. God will not care about or help me. God will help others, but he'll withhold it from me. I'm not worth it. And I always thought, where do people find these things? I thought I was the only one that thought these things. D, a cruel or absent God. God has permitted horrible tragedies. This was so high on my list. Where innocent people suffered, the Holocaust, 9/11, the Rwandan genocide, slavery, childhood sexual abuse, human slavery and trafficking. Like, God allows this. If there's an all-powerful God who controls every aspect of this universe, and he permits that, then I want no part of this God. Pretty powerful, isn't it? Punishing, vengeful God. I have sinned. I'm a compulsive overeater, and this is my punishment from God. If God loved me, I would be able to have my cake and eat it too. I would be thin. I'd be able to have just one little tiny piece and be happy, because then it would be fair, right? If God was loving and kind, he would treat me that way. Since this is not the case, he doesn't love me, so I reject him. Silent God. I prayed and prayed for God to stop my father from beating my mother, to stop me from eating, whatever. That list could be really long. And God did nothing. Therefore, I reject God. G, wrong gender God. God is a God of a gender that is not mine, so I'm not made in the image of God. I believe that both genders are equally worthy, so I don't believe in God. Or maybe I can't relate to a God who's male because I'm female, so therefore we can't have a personal relationship. H, Santa Claus God. God does not exist. The concept of God is only for children and weak people. God is not available there to help me with food. I, untrustworthy, adherent God. God's adherence, I had to like stop and think about that word. His priests, his religious leaders, his servants here on earth, whatever religion we're talking, corrupt leaders, priests who abuse children, we hear a lot about that in the news. If God were good, he would not have those kind of adherents, followers, or workers. J, God the parent. We give God the same defects our parents had. Whatever defects your parents had, we tend to apply to our higher power. God is withholding, judgmental, unreliable, abandoning, does not love me, prefers my siblings, whatever. So that's a pretty powerful list, and you might have others for your second half of the list. So we're going to make this list and make it as honest as we can and have a positive side and a negative side. And you know, you don't have to use those words. Like, if your concept is the God that doesn't take care of little children, put it in your own words. These are just like some basics. Okay, the list here is love, wisdom, protection, compassion, inspiration, hope, support, direction. Think about all the things that, you know, not what you would like to have, what you think you actually are getting or can get. All right. During this other workshop, we had time for everybody to stand up, and it was amazing the similarities. Mm-hmm.
To me, it was really important that it was not just me feeling that way. Do you feel you need time to share this with somebody else? Would you like another? One positive attribute, or pass, responding to my prayers, responsive, inspires. And if somebody's already said it, say it. Omnipresent, always there. Keeps me clean and sober, supporting my actions. Generous, forgiving, all-knowing, allowing love to come into my life. Doing good things for me. Leadership by coincidences and serendipity. I love serendipity. Loves me unconditionally. No gender or human characteristics. Giver of free will. Soothing. A provider. A still small voice. I know he wants me to be in recovery. Has the answers. Stays out of the way so I can develop on my own path. Is there but not overbearing. Leads you your free will. When I lose something, it's always found. God is responsive. It's alive in me, not something I have to seek outside. Knows me inside and out, knows me in my heart, even when I'm living in my defects. Celebrates my victories. And the reason I'm being rude and pointing is I don't want to say everybody's name into the recording. Stillness. Right here, right now. He provides me with the wisdom and knowledge to live my life. Accepting. Tirelessly nurturant. Helped Bill W., who has helped so many others. Compassionate, unlimited love, provides solace, waits for me. God answers all prayers in his own time. He brings me peace, speaks clearly to me, equal advocate for every being. Pretty impressive list. I hope we recognize some others that we would like to add to our own. Now, is it too much of a downer to do the opposite column? I don't always get my will or my way. Doesn't take away my fear. I have to walk through it. I am unworthy. Sometimes, even when I pray, I can't connect. He won't just fix me. Makes me wait when I don't want to. Might pull the rug out from under me just when I've learned to have faith. Doesn't feel bigger than my addiction. Why do I have to be beaten down before I can be built up? Can God be a strength in me and me tapping into my inner strength? So obviously, for right now, God is not. Horrible, horrendous things happen to innocent people, and it confuses me, even though I understand everybody has free will. So, the next part is really the effective part. How do we match that list with a God that's going to affect us and give us recovery? How are we going to match that up? I couldn't do it. And part of the key is there are three, let me go back to my script to make sure I'm getting this right. Our third writing assignment. You have to develop a vision of God that will assist you in your recovery. How can you reconcile that defective higher power with the success of OA? And if you don't believe yet in OA, then AA, or people who have recovered. How can we match those two things up? For me, it didn't work. It blocked it. Three commonly held viewpoints are inconsistent, basically inconsistent with reality, and are at the heart of people's issues with God. I didn't quite get to finish writing here, but I will. A, we have three. A is number one. The view that God is all-powerful and nothing, absolutely nothing, happens in God's world by mistake. Okay? B, we'll talk more about these. The view that God, or two, here it says B, up there it says two. The view that God is just and fair, so the good always prosper and the wicked are always punished. So let me write that. The good always prosper. And the wicked are always punished. And the only reason I'm writing it down in case... And look, I don't know if you can read my scribble at this point. And the third concept, the view that innocent children and innocent others, people, suffer and die in this world. So there are three, I'm just going to write innocents suffer. So, I firmly believed these were... I couldn't believe that all of my problems, I was like, yeah, fall down into these three misconceptions that I have. I thought if God
does everything, then the bad things that are happening are credited to him too. And basically, if we are given free will, if you want to stand up right now and throw a rotten tomato at me, you're going to do it. God is not going to stop it. We have free will. If we did not have free will, we would just be automatons. What would we be? Well, we can't get into religion. We know that we have free will. And if God took that away from us so I can't do anything bad to you, am I willing to give up my free will, my choice to live my life? So therefore, what is wrong? Is it God that's wrong, or is it my concept of what God is that's wrong? The Big Book has many stories of people who found recovery and then suffered terrible losses. Their relationships with their higher power had to survive, or they would not have kept their recovery. These people found a higher power that worked for them, and I assure you, you can too. We have to change our thinking. What is a fantasy world? My fantasy world is that good people will always get good things and wicked people will always get punished. Because look, this is fair and this is the way I want it. Reality check. We live in this world. Is this ever going to happen? Has it ever happened? Can I make it happen? So therefore, I need to redefine my God as maybe not everything is done by God or directed by God. Maybe a lot of it is just plain old human will, or whatever else you want to ascribe it to. Religion gives us a lot of things we can ascribe the bad things that happen to. I don't have an organized religion. All I have is a higher power, a power greater than myself. So I can't blame God for somebody falling asleep at the wheel, crossing the line, and hitting my car. I can't blame God for that. That was that person who worked too late, worked too long, got in their car, and fell asleep. Shit happens. If I continue to blame God for every person's free will in this world, what's going to happen to me? I'm certainly not going to have that. So, I grew up telling my mom, but it's not fair. And she used to say, well, life's not fair, suck it up. And I thought that was a horrible lesson. But guess what, mom? Life's not fair, suck it up. How can we survive in that unfair world? And where are we going to find the power to deal with it every day? Commonly for people who have, some people have no problem with any of this. They have a perfect explanation for this. I told you, some of you will not need this exercise because you have figured this out in your concept of God and how it works, maybe because of your religious beliefs, or maybe because of, I don't know, maybe you just understand why bad things happen. I needed to be walked through why that was blocking my relationship with a God. My higher power, which is not a being, an entity, a part of any religion, is a powerful force that works in me and in here with us, and I can tap into it. And I had to lose some of this stuff for that to work for me, in here, for me. So the next part is, right. We're pretty good on time, aren't we? Because we only have one more part to do this afternoon. Next is writing your vision for a higher power that can help you recover. You get to choose. So if you want a God that will only give good things to good people and bad things to bad people, that is your choice. But how is it going to affect your recovery when you live in this real world? What kind of God are you going to choose? I thought, well, okay, my religion growing up said that God, well, I do believe God knows everything, every little sparrow, every little... But I was also taught that he controlled it and made it all happen. And I catch myself falling back into that. Well, you know, if something bad happened, you know, it must have been God's will. Well, maybe not. It's an old habit that I had to change my conception of what is God to me. And then in this writing, this definition, this next part, write. Oh, did I lose my notes? Nope. Just write a description of what kind of God is going to work for you. What are the characteristics of that God? How is it going? That God going to help you in your recovery? Would you like me to give you a small example of how I did mine? Okay, this is what I think of God. First of all, I think God is definitely a force and a powerful force and an energy. And that energy flows in and around all of us and connects us together. It flows through me, it flows through you, it flows through everything. This powerful force knows everything about me. I can't hide anything from this force. Yet this force loves me. I read this analogy. I'm sure it was in OA literature. They said, and I know it was maybe in a Lifeline. It was in a, think God thinks of us as a newborn litter of puppies. Right? You pick up a newborn puppy and it's this small, warm, eyes closed, wiggling, and you love it to death. You put it on the floor, it piddles on the floor. And you say, oh, and you clean it up and you love that little puppy. That's how God feels about me, even when I piddle on the floor. Seriously, if you can drum up what you feel, would you ever resent that newborn little puppy for not being able to go out in the grass? Never. I honestly feel that that force feels that way about me. Now that force, that power, that energy is not going to stop me from getting an illness, getting hit by a car, from being hurt by somebody else. Because then that higher power would be taking that person's free will away and my higher power wouldn't do that. So what does my higher power do for me? I believe, and it's a little easier for me because I've come further. I wish I had brought my original writing assignment from this because I still have it. I still kept it. I believe this power can direct me. It can support me. It can give me strength. It can give me insight and intuition. And it, he, she, look, I fall back into it because higher power for me is truly genderless. I try and avoid giving human characteristics to that higher power. I might accidentally say God has a sense of humor, but I really don't think, I think this power is so far outside of what my mind can actually pin down that I only can feel the effect it has on me and trust, and I now have faith that it's there because it's working for me. But that original concept was, boy, I can't really pin it down in human terms are the only things we know. We don't know something else, and I really think my higher power is something else. Bigger than me, or it wouldn't have worked. Bigger than you, bigger than us, you know, but working within us. Is that helpful at all? Mm-hmm. It sounds vague, but is it going to work in a world where the good are not always rewarded and the wicked are not always punished? Is it going to work in a world where innocent children suffer? Yeah, that concept that I've works. And I do think my higher power sees when terrible things happen. But I don't. My part, like a four-step inventory, is I was demanding that God do what I wanted. And I wanted it my way. God is God. This force is not going to be directed by me. Does that help? Okay. And you might have a better, you might be able to apply human characteristics to your God because that might work for you. It doesn't work for me, but that's just, I was such an agnostic, almost atheist coming into this program. I can't believe I'm a person who talks about God because I would have died before I ever said I believed in God. So maybe your definition will have a lot more human characteristics than mine do. But every time I give God, look, boy, we're humans and we fail all the time. So why would I give God human characteristics? I don't know, that's just me. But this is your God. You get to choose. The big book says it. Choose your own definition, even if it's only a very basic beginning. Okay. So write your vision. All right. It's a little exhausting, isn't it? I feel a little drained. But it's powerful stuff. It made such a difference for me.
I kept calling this poor woman up and saying, oh, thank you for walking me through this. Even if exactly what we did today doesn't work for you, you at least get the idea of where our problems arise from within ourselves. That it's not necessarily God's fault. It's my expectations, my concept, my ambitions of how I want the world to be. So there's more of this workshop tonight in the, my voice just cracked. And, oh, I don't have the microphone either. In the last session, we're going to write a prayer letter, have a meditation, and then write a letter to ourselves. Just as a quick preview, a letter to yourselves to bring out in 9 months to remind you of what you felt at this time, because it slips away pretty easy. I wanted to slip back into those old 47 years of thinking of God one way. So anyway, that's what we have coming for tonight. So thank you.